For the last few years, one of the familiar tech buzzwords has been the cloud. Over and over, we've heard phrases like cloud computing and saving our information to the cloud. And there's even an advertising campaign in which the players on a commercial would yell, "To the cloud!" But what does this buzzword really mean? To help us with our discussion today, we have Vincent Mosco, a professor emeritus of sociology at Queen's University in Canada, and the former Canada Research Chair in Communication and Society. He's also the author of the new book, To the Cloud, Big Data in a Turbulent World. Welcome, Vincent, and thank you for coming on the show.
Oh, you're welcome.
Great. So first of all, can you give us some of your background? You were a sociology professor. How'd you get into technology and technical issues?
Well, I've been involved in technology issues for many years, in fact. From the time I was a graduate student in sociology at Harvard, I had the good fortune to arrive as a graduate student as Daniel Bell was arriving to take a position in sociology. And I took his seminars, and he convinced me that technology was an important field to study. I worked as his research assistant while he was working on the book, The Coming of a Post-Industrial Society. And I guess I caught the bug and decided to continue to work in the field. At that time, the new technology was cable TV, and it certainly has evolved over the years. One of my goals, and I hope that I realized it in this book, is to, over the years, is to try to stay ahead of the curve in technology. So in the 1980s, I moved on to take up video text and teletext, kind of precursors of the internet, and a succession of technologies that in our time take us to the cloud and big data. And my goal is to, in a sense, plant a critical flag in the territory of the cloud and big data, where most analyses of the cloud have been largely technical. I thought it would be useful to bring a critical sociological, analytical eye to the study of the cloud.
Well, what does that mean, a critical flag?
Well, what I mean is broadly to look at the social and political implications of the cloud. When I started work on this project a couple of years ago, the literature was almost entirely about what is the cloud and what can it do for you, for your business, etc. All of which is quite useful and was enormously helpful in my education about the cloud. But I found no one was looking at the implications, for example, of for the environment of large power-consuming data centers, implications for our privacy, and the impact on labor, and on what it means in an era of big data to actually know something. What would be the implications, for example, for more qualitative and subjective humanities-based thinking when quantitative data becomes the gold standard for knowing? So these are issues, philosophical, sociological, political, economic, that I thought we needed to start a debate about around the cloud, and I decided that it would be useful to take that on.
Now, in your book, you say you take a transdisciplinary approach to this study. So that's sociology as well as...
Well, it's sociology, political economy, a subject that I've written a couple of books about over the years. One of the things, in fact, I learned, and I, again, would go back to Daniel Bell, was that to be a true social scientist, one had to, in a sense, take the long march through a variety of disciplines, mm-hmm. to learn what it means to be not only a sociologist rooted into what is defined as the canon of the discipline, but to do the same for cultural studies, communication studies, economics, political science, geography. And in various times in the 40 or so years I've been working in the field, I've done just that. That is, go back to school in a subject area and learn it as best I can and integrate it in a broad multi or transdisciplinary approach. That is an approach that rises above the confines or some might see the constraints of a particular discipline. Mm-hmm. I spend a good deal of time thinking about how to integrate a variety of approaches into the cloud. Fundamentally, it's a broadly political economic approach, and especially in the final chapter, a cultural approach, mm-hmm. To understanding the cloud.
Now, we are talking about the cloud and cloud, mm-hmm. computing, but perhaps, mm-hmm. you can explain what is the cloud?
Right. I think that's a very good question, and what I found in doing my research is there are many, many definitions of the cloud. To boil it all down, cloud computing is a system where we centralize the storage of online data that includes anything from the printed word to the voice and video, etc., applications and software in one particular location or in a network of locations. So imagine a data center, and these are massive facilities, mm-hmm. that house computer servers that store and process data, applications, and software. And we access or interact with the data and with the software from our own distant terminal. So it's essentially you're online and you interact with a data center or a network of data centers. More often than not, you as part of an organization, a company, or a government agency would access the network, and your company would pay a fee for the amount of data, software accessed, and a regular charge, like a rental charge, mm-hmm. to have that access. So to give a very concrete example, now I bought a computer just last week, and I was thinking of course, installing Microsoft Office, and I was offered the opportunity to essentially rent the software for a monthly fee, and the software itself would be located in a distant data center. So I don't have to install, I don't have to store the software on my computer. I can save the space for other activities and just use it by drawing on it when I log on. So the cloud, the image of the cloud, is this place where data, applications, and software reside, mm-hmm. and we're down here with our feet firmly planted on the earth, accessing and interacting with that data.
Yeah, so you, in the book, you make a statement that I want to ask you about, and you say that cloud computing serves as a prism that reflects and refracts every major issue in the field of information technology and society. Mm-hmm. So I was wanting to know if you could really explain what you meant by that.
Sure. It's important to understand that when we, and many of us have seen these large data centers, one can see them simply as pieces of technology, a complex that stores servers, and the process downloading data, sending up data, or using the software, whether word processing or a spreadsheet at this distant location, you can look at it as purely a technical exercise. Mm-hmm. But when you, in a sense, and I mean this metaphorically, but also as a methodology, peel away the data center, what you come to see are broader issues. So, for example, data centers have significant impacts on the environment. They consume vast amounts of power, not only to process the enormous stores of data, but also to keep cool, to air condition the servers mm-hmm. in such facilities. The data requirements, I mean, the power requirements are enormous. Furthermore, there's an impact on the local environment of the particular energy source used to power the data centers themselves. So there are the standard is to use electricity, but in order for us to have 24/7 access, data centers have major backups like diesel generators, mm-hmm. Massive generators that that are used to kick in when electrical power goes down. And there are rows of lead-acid batteries that back up diesel generators, flywheels that back up those. Or it's four or five levels of backup to keep a data center going. Now, all of these have important environmental impacts. So in a sense, and in this specific example, the environment is refracted in the seemingly banal technology of accessing data remotely. And I describe in the book how one small town in the state of Washington was heavily impacted by the arrival of a Microsoft data center, which came to Quincy, Washington, promising jobs and a renewal of its economy. Mm-hmm. But in addition to that, delivered a tremendous spike in air pollution and significant problems for the local energy supply. So that's one example. There are a number of other ways in which issues are embodied in the technology. Certainly, given that data centers store enormous amounts of information, including private information, there are major privacy and surveillance implications. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of this has come out in the last year over the National Security Agency, but the problem goes beyond government intrusion, because most of the companies that build cloud centers, and they include some of the largest IT companies in the world, dominant ones being Amazon, Google, Microsoft, Apple, Facebook, as well as some others that are not so much household names like Rackspace. Mm-hmm. But these companies profit significantly by marketing the data stored in their clouds. So we need to think about, debate, and act on the privacy and surveillance implications there. Another area that is impacted by cloud computing is employment. One person described the cloud, or defined it as just another way to outsource your IT operations. Mm-hmm. What that means is that companies including universities, government agencies as well, that house an independent IT department can now eliminate that department almost entirely by moving IT operations to the cloud. So why do you need to have an IT department when Google or Amazon and their clouds or Rackspace or one of the other companies can handle your IT services? So labor becomes a significant issue as well. Beyond that, and I'll wrap up this answer, kind of long answer with this, but I think it's important to kind of, I think it's a good question, how does the technology embody these different approaches?
Sure.
There's a philosophical question here about what it means to know things. As we move more and more of our data to the cloud, we're hearing more and more about the significance of big data analysis. So it's described by some as revolutionary, radically changing the way in which we come to know things, embodied in a colloquial expression that's enormously powerful. That is, the data will speak for themselves. Well, what does that mean? In essence, it seems to me that, and I use the phrase digital positivism, that is a sense that the technology will enable the data we store on it to give us answers, whether or not we even ask a question. It will essentially tell us what is best for us. Now, this seems to me to challenge, in very fundamental ways, a lot of the different ways of knowing things and understanding things that that we have lived with for centuries, including approaches that are more qualitative, that try to understand subjectivity, that engage with history and theory. Big data, by and large, ignores all of those elements and says, we have a new way of knowing, adopt it. So to the cloud means more than simply a technical connection to a data center. It has vast implications for some of the major social, political, philosophical issues that that are central to our world today.
Now, you know, while you were talking, I couldn't help but think of some of my communications theory training and think of McLuhan and the media is the message. So is technology with respect to the cloud, at least what we're talking about, is the cloud the message or is there a message inherent in the cloud, I guess?
Well, I you know, it's an interesting point. The cloud, in some respects, embodies McLuhan's adage, certainly, that as a medium, it delivers a message, certainly about what it means to know things. And a number of its more enthusiastic proponents draw the link from McLuhan to the cloud. I think it's important to do so. And it's also, I think, you know, important to understand that there is enormous value to be gained by making the cloud part of our lives. But at the same time, we need to do so, as with any technology, by understanding and trying to deal with the problems that it gives rise to. And one of the ideas that I trace through the book that seems to me important is this. With my understanding of the history of technology, it seems to me the cloud goes back to the beginnings of the computer age, back to the 1950s and 60s, mm-hmm. when those of us old enough to remember would use what was then called time-sharing computers.
Okay.
That is, you'd use the computer that you worked on was actually just a terminal that had no storage capacity at all, and you interacted with what was called a mainframe computer.
Mm-hmm.
That is, a central computer that was stored in some very isolated part of the university campus, and it would deliver your information. And early on in the computer age, researchers would share the time on that central computer. So while multiple users could use it, you couldn't all use it at once. And so we talked about time sharing as a form of computing, and it was considered an advance over one person using one computer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in a sense, the cloud, another 50 years later, deploys that model, multiple users drawing from a central data center and making use of the technology. But back in those early days, if we look at some of the debates around the future of computing, the term public utility or computer utility
mm-hmm.
came up over and over again. That is, are these large mainframe computers really like the public utilities that deliver us electrical power, water, and if they are public utilities, should they not be regulated as electrical utilities are in the public interest to address issues like the pricing, social implications of the technology? After a few years of trying out private electricity, the U.S. and most other countries recognized that this was a technology that was far too important to simply allow individual private companies to operate without regulation. So they were declared public utilities.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the same goes for the early days of computers. And the view was then that maybe we should begin to think about the computer as a public utility. So into the cloud, one of the things I argue is that if we're going to deal with the problems that arise from the cloud, whether they have to do with the concentrated power of government in the NSA or of a big company like Amazon that is a leading force in the cloud, or the environment, or privacy, or jobs, that we have to begin to think of the cloud as a public resource or a public utility. And go back to those earlier discussions, as I do in the book, from the 50s and 60s and 70s, and look for ways in which we can turn the cloud into a more broad public utility that has sufficient regulation so that it can continue to provide a useful service for people, and at the same time minimize the problems that arise with it.
Now, in the book, you talk about there are just a few companies that are dominating the cloud, mm-hmm. I guess, business right now. And I'm wondering if there is a possibility that cloud and cloud computing may go the way of media, particularly media in, say, the United States and perhaps Canada, where mm-hmm. it's concentrated in the hands of, you know, a really small number of companies, and perhaps the implications of that.
Well, I think that's an important point, and one of the central issues in thinking about the cloud and why we need to begin to think about it as a public utility. As it stands now, there is one dominant force in the industry, and that's Amazon. Mm-hmm. In its subdivision, Amazon Web Services is essentially the force that determines a good deal of the pricing and services available in the cloud. Now, there are others, but what struck me as so interesting when I was doing research on this book is that the other leading companies are the same companies that dominate social media and other aspects of IT, including Microsoft and Apple and Google increasingly. Mm-hmm. To a lesser degree, Facebook, though it's becoming increasingly important. Facebook operates, of course, in the cloud and has, you know, over a billion customers, but it doesn't provide the kind of cloud services to companies and government agencies in the way that Amazon does. Amazon received a $600 million contract, for example, from the CIA. Mm-hmm. The CIA trusts Amazon to serve as its online provider of data and applications, etc. Now, what's the danger here? Well, there have been lots of other companies, and still are, involved in the cloud. There were more than there are today, companies with names like Salesforce and Rackspace and others. But what the big companies are doing is diminishing the market hold of the smaller ones by cutting their prices drastically until these companies are driven out of the business. Mm-hmm. What economists would call predatory pricing that large companies can afford because they have other divisions that can keep them afloat while they drive other firms out of the business. Now, what this means is that we're increasingly left with fewer choices among cloud providers who get to determine what pricing and services are like and who generate enormous profits from selling the data that we provide them in the cloud. Now, in the past, when we've had situations like this, whether with big media companies like CBS or NBC, the TV networks, or the telephone companies like AT&T, who stepped in and determined that they needed to be regulated in the public interest. Well, that hasn't been done with the cloud, partly because we now live in an environment where regulation seems to be a tool of policy that's not used or used only in the last resort. And as a result, companies like Amazon have been able to run free through the cloud industry. And I worry not only about what this means for consumer choice, but also for innovation in mm-hmm. the industry. One of the ways innovation happens is when small companies move in, provide a unique service, and challenge the larger companies. Well, if these smaller companies are not gaining access to markets because the big ones dominate, then innovation is likely to be stifled. So I do worry about the old issue of concentration of power. Mm-hmm. And it's another reason why we need to begin thinking about developing policy for what amounts to be the cloud computing public utility.
Mm-hmm. So can you tell us, what do you think is on the horizon for cloud computing in the near future?
Well, the industry is growing mm-hmm. and expanding rapidly. There is a continuous push. I don't know whether that's the case at your university, but lots of universities that that I observe, for example, in moving their email services mm-hmm. from a local IT department to Gmail as right. a way to save money. That's one small example of the push to move from individual control over our IT needs to centralized control. I think that's going to grow. There's enormous pressure from the companies themselves to push. There's enormous pressure on government. One of the leading forces in the U.S. Mm-hmm. are government agencies that want to move all of government to the cloud, and mainly because it's cheaper to do that, requires fewer IT workers, and allows for better coordination of data and software. But all of this seems to me to require a closer public eye on the cloud, because without some form of regulation, ultimately, if a handful of companies control the whole thing, then they're going to be able to price it, deliver services in ways that mainly support their bottom line, which may or may not be in the public interest. Now, I do see a groundswell beginning to form around the need for public interest regulation of the cloud. Mm-hmm. It's more forceful right now in Europe, which is challenging in the European Union, the major cloud providers, on issues like concentration of power and privacy. Mm-hmm. But I think we're also beginning to see it in the United States and elsewhere, as people recognize how important the cloud is and why it's necessary for us to control this powerful and potentially revolutionary technology.
Sure. Now, what's next for you?
Well, it's interesting. You know, I found that after writing a book like this, I need to spend a fair bit of time in reflecting on, you know, what I go through a period where I write a book and then, in a sense, continue to write it in my mind by mm-hmm. adding new material. So next month I'm going to China to lecture for 3 weeks about the cloud. China is becoming one of the leading cloud companies in cloud countries in the world. Mm-hmm. And so I want to talk about some of the implications for China there. So I will be lecturing there. I'll be in the U.S. and across Canada talking about these issues. And I will be absorb more and more material on the cloud. Usually after, you know, 6 months or so of doing this, I begin to kind of think about a new project. Mm-hmm. Right now, it's only beginning to form in my mind, but I'm thinking of taking a more serious look at social media, that as it matures into a technology that is a central part of our day-to-day lives, what will this mean for broadly for social life? But I'm edging specifically into education mm-hmm. again, and I'm thinking of looking at the growth of online education and the role of social media in it, and what it means to be a university and a university for universities, and what it means to be a university educator in a world increasingly controlled by online and social media forms of communication.
So if the listeners want to read more of your material, where can they find it? Do you have a website or a blog?
Yes, actually, I do, of course, have a website. The best thing to do would just be to pop Vincent Mosco into into the cloud of Google, and you'll find my website and lots of information about where they can read about other of my publications. And I'd be happy to communicate with any of your listeners. I'm at moscov@mac.com. That's my moscov@mac.com email address. And if anybody has any questions or comments, I'd be happy to hear them.
Great. And so the book is To the Cloud, Big Data in a Turbulent World, available probably on Amazon, right?
It's on Amazon. It's published by Paradigm Publishers in the United States. And I made sure, Jasmine, that it was available in an inexpensive paperback edition.
Oh, great.
An important consideration these days.
Absolutely.
So for, somewhere in the around $20 U.S., you can pick up an important look at cloud computing.
Absolutely. So, Vincent, thank you again for coming on the show. And ladies and gentlemen, this has been New Books in Technology. Thank you.